Welcome to Set Free Live, brought to you by Set Free Outreach Ministries. It is our prayer that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you. We pray that as you listen, the Holy Spirit will enlighten, encourage, and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. Let's go now into the word of the Lord. Be blessed.
Everybody,
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church, say amen.
Welcome to Set Free Live. I'm Apostle Deborah, and beloved, it is a blessing and an honor to be with you once again today. Truly, I do thank and praise God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. And I'm very excited about what God is doing and all that he is teaching us through prayer. Beloved, we know that nothing goes without prayer. And we're doing an exciting study on prophetic intercession and particularly talking about travailing prayer. We're going to pick back up. We're going back to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It is my prayer that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you on today. Praise God. And I encourage you to go back and listen to the prior segment of this teaching. It's very exciting. And the Lord is just doing a great work as far as prayer and how he is speaking and confirming his word. We shared a prophetic word on last night. That the Lord gave a precious, precious heart a number of years ago. And it was just like reading a word that he had just given. And let me just say this, the word of God never gets old. It's very timely. And so when the Lord speaks a prophetic message, a prophetic word, and it may say have been 20, 30 years ago, and the Lord allow you to hear it. It's a reason for it. And so it is my prayer that the people of God will begin to really take heed to what God is saying and allow the Lord to activate his word in us, that we may be the men and women of God that the Lord wants. The Lord is shaping up an army, and I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters in the Lord to allow him to do that shaping, to do that equipping. He's equipping us for end time service in his kingdom. And this is what it's about. The upbuilding of the kingdom of God, the advancement of the kingdom. And so when the Lord says in his word that he's given apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith. And this is it. When we walk as one, we're more powerful. And God gets more done when the body is unified, strengthened, edified, comforted, encouraged, built up. And so this word today, I pray, will do that for you in your walk with him and prayer time with the Lord and intercession. Father, I thank you for this day. I ask that you would anoint your word today, that you would bless those that are listening. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. And we just ask you, God, to continue to have your way. Lead and guide by your spirit. Help us to crucify self and flesh, that, Father, you may be glorified and edified. And, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And, Father God, everything that's not like you in us, we ask that you bring deliverance and cleansing, healing, Father God. And, Lord, every wrong motive, wrong attitude, wrong mindset, we ask, Father, that you deal with those areas in your people's lives, in our lives. Make us whole in our spirit, in our body, in our soul. Father God, make us one in you. Help us to be led by your spirit, not by the flesh. And Lord, we thank you. We love you. We appreciate you, Father. Take us further now In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Romans 8:26-27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Ghost helps us. He helps us in our prayer. He helps us when we don't know how to pray. The Holy Ghost knows, because he's the direct link to God. He doesn't do anything but what he hears the Father say and do. And so when we learn to give way to God, give way to the Holy Ghost, he will lead us and he will guide us, okay? There are times when you will not know how to pray, but know this, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, makes intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered, things in your mind that you can't articulate, but the Spirit of God knows it. Amen. He knows about it. And then the Father knows. Amen. And then when we learn to pray in the Spirit, praise God, we'll be fruitful and we will be edified, because it's not by flesh, it's not by our own mind, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And God knows all things. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. Amen. He knows our path. He knows the path that we take. He knows the roads that we're on. God knows everything. He can look down the street and around the corner. This is why a lot of times he will begin to put things on in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit to do or pray. We may not understand why, but again, he knows what's down the street and around the corner. We can't see around the corner. We can see down the street a little way, but we can only see so far. He sees greater and further. Amen. And so this is why we have to stay in tune and in line with God. And our walks with God has to stay fresh. And he refines us. He defines us. And this is why we go through the cleansing. We go through sanctification and consecration. You know, all of that, separating unto God. Because our lives should be totally dedicated to God and to his will and what he wants for our lives. Okay? Listen. The Holy Ghost, in his mighty prevailing for us, prays with unutterable groaning. Now, the word for groaning in Romans 8:26 is phagnamos. It is an inward groaning, and it is the plural, okay? All right. So the heart cry of the Spirit is too deep for human words, okay? It therefore becomes groaning within our heart that manifests a prayer desire, so infinite that it is incapable of being totally expressed. So this type of groaning, you can't express it in words, but it comes deep from the Holy Ghost. So God the Father understands the Spirit's meaning as he groans within us, according to Romans 8:27. Now our weakness, according to verse 26, is that our human words cannot adequately and fully articulate the depth of divine longing, just as our personality cannot experience the fullness and depth of the Spirit's longing. We can express it truly, but not totally. We are finite, but God is infinite, okay? We're finite. Our minds can only go so far. God is infinite, praise God. That's why he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, okay? Nor do we know what is best in every circumstance. And we don't always know what's best. We know what we think. Amen. We know what we may think may be the best. But we do not know the best. God does. All right? He knows what's best for us in every situation, every circumstance, everything that we may encounter. Things may not go the way we think they should. But when we rely on God, and we depend upon him constantly, he knows. He sees, he knows. and he does care. Praise God. So the Spirit's very definite and infinitely deep desire must be expressed in groaning rather than our words, since our words are inadequate. Spirit-born groaning is always in accord with God's will. It's tapped into God, has nothing at all to do with us. Okay? The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, could desire nothing other, but God can translate these groanings into his fullest understanding and do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. This is why it's important for us to really give over to the will of God, not to the will of man, not to the will of what we think or our own flesh. We must give over to God's will completely, totally, unreservedly, okay? And believe you me, the Lord knows if we really do that. He knows that, praise God. And it will show, praise God, it will show in your walk. It will show in your faith. It will show in your everyday life if you're really surrendered to God's will. Because when things happen a lot of times, when we may say, well, God, you have my life, whatever you want to do. Praise God, however you want to take me. And then your path begins to go in a way you don't want it to go. And I'm not talking in a negative sense now. I'm talking if you're truly walking according to God. If you're not, that's a whole other situation. But if you're walking according to the will of God and he begins to allow certain things to happen, amen, and you're committed to him, you're saying, I'm going to trust God no matter what, your faith will stand. And you'll walk through it. You won't walk around it. You won't back up. You won't regress. You'll continue to press on. So it's important to know that if you're truly committed to the Lord, believe me, the test of time will prove that. Amen. That's why the Bible says again, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I do want to read this scripture in Ephesians 3 and 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, what is the power that works in us? It's not our power. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's God working in us, the dunamis that comes from God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God is the one that should be working, okay? Not us, again, not what we want, not our feeling, amen, but God, okay? So when God's working, his power is working. His inward work is working in us, and we roll our care on him, and we say, okay, Father, whatever you want, that's what I want. That's surrendering to the will of God and then walking it out. And enduring, amen, in order to get, heard someone say they don't have no patience. Well, let me tell you something. In order to get patience, you have to endure. And so things need to come in your life to where you can learn to endure. If you don't learn to endure, you won't have that patience and that enduring power that you really need, so that when trials come or tragedy comes or negativity even comes, all these things may come, adversity, affliction come, you will be able to endure. And you endure not by your own strength, not by your own might, but by the might and power of God, because God will give you to triumph in him. All right. Okay. Listen, now let me give you some examples of some prevailers, men of God that prevailed in prayer. Okay. One young man from Portland, Oregon, who was he prevailed mightily in prayer, and after his death, he was found to have calloused knees. By the side of his bed, where he wrestled in prayer day after day, where two grooves were worn into the hard board as he moved back and forth on his knees in prayer. This man used to say that he pitied the Christian who could not experience the meaning of the words, groanings which cannot be uttered. I heard another story of another individual that when they, after he passed away, when they examined his body. His knees were so hard because he had prayed so much. He'd been on his knees so much. And so his body, you could tell that he was a man of prayer. And that's an awesome thing. These men of God were sold out and surrendered fully to God. And I'm not talking we get down and pray for a few minutes and just holler a little bit and jump up. No, that's not prayer, beloved. I mean agonizing in prayer, travailing in prayer, interceding in prayer, laboring for hours, okay, in prayer. Another example in prayer wrestling is that this individual at times groaned as if he were dying, but such mighty groanings were then followed by tremendous spiritual transformation in lives as people repented and confessed their sins. You see, this type of prayer is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we want. This type of prayer comes straight by the Spirit of God. And when you love the Lord and you know that God has called you to a life of intercession, intercessory prayer, it's not about being in the clique and being in the inn and being with the leaders and being, you know, I say all these things because a lot of these attitudes are in the minds of people, and all of this has to be flushed out because God really wants our heart. He wants us pure. He wants us holy and no reservation, no doubting, none of these things that the enemy can grab a hold to and use, because if that's the case, it won't be effective in the body. And God wants his people effective, especially in the area of prayer. Let me give you another example. Prayer groaning and prayer agony also make you unusually one with the Holy Ghost. It makes you more like him. The Spirit is equally infinite in his longing and burden as the Son of God is interceding on heaven's throne. How burdened these intercessions of the Holy Ghost. How profoundly he feels the world's sin, the world's woe, and the world's loss, and how deeply he sympathizes with the dire conditions are seen in his groaning, which are too sacred to be voiced by him. Deep, deep thought. Okay, one more in the life of Jesus. He poured out his life unto death, made intercession for the transgressors. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He interceded for all of us. And he was not sin, but he was made sin for us. Okay? Ultimate intercession. Christ deliberately chose earth's mightiest prevailing in prayer. Jesus could have refused it, but he chose Gethsemane. And that's where he interceded. If you read the accounting throughout the New Testament of his prevailing prayer in Gethsemane, it was agonizing. It was very agonizing, laborious prayer, travailing prayer, painful, very painful prayer. But he interceded prior to walking up Golgotha's hill. And that was necessary. He had to intercede. The weight of the sin of the people laid on him before he ever got to the cross. That's true intercession. He had to pray it through before he actually went through it. But he prayed it all the way through. This is an example for us, beloved, in our times of prayer. There are things that we have to pray through now. It's not coming to you. The things that God has for some of the men and women of God, even, let me say this, you know, God gives us prophetic word. He ministers greatly to us. It's not automatic. You don't receive it, boom, just like that. I mean, you got to pray that thing through. And not only that, God has to do an inward working in your life so that you're able to carry the anointing effectively. Amen. For the glory of God. I remember years and years ago when the Lord would speak things that he was going to do. I saw none of it. I couldn't comprehend it, but I had to go through a process still of being made even today. We haven't arrived, beloved. This is not an easy walk. We have to still work out our salvation. Amen. And not only that, we got to die daily. Paul said, I die daily. Okay? So intercession and prayer and seeking the face of God and going alongside, coming aside with God. Amen. Breaking down the middle walls of petition, things and barriers, things that will keep you from your potential. Sin is the main thing that will keep you from your potential. Amen. Hidden agendas, hidden motives, and haystack spirits, and these spirits that hide, that go under the current, but yet we think that we can still do something for God and have our cake too. No, you can't do it that way. You have to be totally, totally, totally committed to God, committed to his will. And the Lord's word will come to pass as we walk in line with God and as we submit ourselves to the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, whatever you want, I surrender. I give up. I just want you. I just want to be your child. I just want to be close to you. That's all I want. And if you can pray that and mean and consistently, amen, and develop your relationship with the Lord, everything else will fall in line as God wills, because we do want the will of God to be done in our life. So Jesus, again, he could have refused, but he chose Gethsemane. He took up his cross. Okay? He took up his cross. He took up and fully drank the cup. He didn't sip it. He didn't say, well, I'll just take one piece of it. He totally did it. He said yes to God. He said, not my will, but thine will be done. And the only way he was able to go through that is by him surrendering to the will of his Father. It meant rejection. It meant dejection. It meant beating. It meant all the suffering that he went through. But he did it. Glory to God. And he did it so that we might have a right now to the tree of life. So our experience in no way compares with the depth of Christ's experience. But as we purposefully commit ourselves to take up our cup and give ourselves to prayer wrestling, as we deliberately take up our cross, listen, the cross of prayer travail, we become most like Jesus, our mighty intercessor. And he's our mighty intercessor, beloved. If anyone would come after me, okay, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's in Luke 9 and 23 now. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, glory to God, you got to take up your cross. You got to deny yourself. You got to be willing to put everything aside. Now, the disciples literally did it. They had to forsake home and everything. And they followed Jesus. And it's no exception for us. We have to do the exact same thing. Deny yourself. Deny your own comfort. And all of that. Give it up. Be willing. Say, okay, Father, what your will is, that's what I want. Now you make me. You mold me. You do it, Father. Okay? Jesus' burden, a prayer burden and agony is described by Mark in Mark 14, 33 and 34. He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Okay? And then, he felt that distress before he ever got there again. He grieved. The sorrow hit him. You know, he had to agonize. But he had to do it in prayer. Okay? He agonized in prayer. He fell on his face to God. Fell on his knees in prayer in that garden. And he had to pray it through again. Okay? So the Greek word for deeply distressed, it means an intensive, I can't pronounce it. Let me just spell it for you. It's E-K-T-H-A-M-B-E-O-M-I. And it's an intensive, which means to be amazed, astonished, almost to the point of immobility. Jesus describes the agony as overwhelming. Okay? So he literally felt this. Okay? It was overwhelming. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by things? Okay? But I mean now by prayer. in the spirit, but he labors. Glory to God. Thank God that he labored for you, that he labored for me, that he labored for the people, for all people to be saved. He labored. He travailed. He gave birth. Glory to God, right there on the cross, for you and for I. And this is why, beloved, listen, we can be free. We can walk free. We can be whole. Glory to God. Spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. You don't have to be bound. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you right now, glory to God, you need to shake off things that the enemy has you bound with. They're not a spirit holding on to you. You know, they're Jezebel. You know, a controlling spirit, jealous spirit, lying spirit, demonic spirit, foul spirit, filthy spirit. Things that the enemy wants to keep you clapped down. Beloved, Jesus died for all of that. He died that you might be free. And he wants you to walk free. He agonized for us. So he did it. Glory to God. So the burdens and things that we carry are light. Okay? It's afflictions even are just for a moment. They don't last long. Glory to God. So when you think of God and what he's done, surrender to him, beloved. Give him your all. Father, I thank you for your word today. And I ask you, dear Lord, to touch those right now, those that are bound right now by demonic spirits in the mind, double-mindedness. Father God, we come against it now. Jezebel spirits, witchcraft spirits, warlocks. Oh God, jealousy. Father God, these things are keeping people bound. Competition spirits. We bind them up in Jesus' name. We lose the power of God to go forth. Father, we thank you for prayer today. Thank you for travailing prayer. I ask you, God, to continue the work that you have begun in your people. And Father God, help us to totally surrender to your will. Not our will, Father, but your will be done. Not our way, but your way. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. God, I'm asking you to heal those that are sick in body right now. Oh, I send forth the healing power of God to go forth and heal right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the light of the word. We thank you for your word. Don't let the word slip from us, Father. Help us, oh God, to walk in it and live in it. We thank you now. And we give you praise. We give you honor and glory for all things that you're continuing to do in us and through us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Beloved, we pray that you will continue, amen, in your walk with the Lord. Continue to be encouraged and strengthened until our next broadcast. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Set Free Live. Set Free Live is brought to you by Set Free Outreach Ministries. If you would like more information about our ministry, we invite you to visit us on our website at www.setfreeoutreachministries.org. If you would like to sow into our ministry, you may do so by clicking the donate button on our homepage. We encourage you to email us your prayer requests, praise reports, or comments to ApostleDeborah@SetFreeOutreachMinistries.org. You may also write us at Set Free Outreach Ministries, 714 Aurora Avenue, Pueblo, Colorado, 81004. Until our next broadcast, keep looking up, beloved, and know that God is working all things out for you just because he loves you and he cares.
Church, say.